Before we begin the fourth episode of Quatermass 2, we'd like to say that in our opinion it is not suitable for children or for those of you who may have a nervous disposition.
The BBC warning preceding Quatermass 2 in 1955. Quatermass 2 is the ultimate shadowy conspiracy thriller. Years before The X-Files, Neil made the suggestion that aliens are already amongst us, their invasion complete. They walk the corridors of power and have established worldwide bases of operation. With painful irony, the bases are created using plans to house mankind on an alien environment, plans designed by one Professor Bernard Quatermass and used without his knowledge. Quatermass is again an unlucky, almost cursed figure, punished at every turn by his pioneering. That punishment was echoed off-screen when Reginald Tate died suddenly, a couple of months before production, and John Robinson was brought in to replace him. Not entirely comfortable in the part or with the technical nature of his dialogue, Robinson nonetheless carries with him a wretchedness that adds to the Professor's haunted nature. Still, John Robinson was not asked to return for the third and the greatest of the Quatermass serials. 1958-59's Quatermass and the Pit starred André Marel as the Professor, dealing with the discovery of 5-million-year-old fossil ape bones representing a missing link during the rebuilding of post-Blitz London. But underneath them is a strange object that authorities believe to be an unexploded bomb, even though it is daubed with cabalistic signs of black magic. The bones belong to early man, augmented by insectoid Martians who, living on a dying world and unable to inhabit ours, have made alterations to our genetic makeup in order to propagate their civilization by proxy within us. This is such sophisticated storytelling. Before they died out 5 million years ago, the locust-like Martians with their gargoyle faces and arthropoidal instinct for species conformity programmed their own biological drives into us, explaining our propensity for war and for racial violence. The spectre of both of these things hung over 1950s Britain, just as the image of the horned devil in Martian form manifests over the destruction of London by a frenzied mob of humans whose race memory has been triggered at the climax of the story. Oh, and Neil is aware he has invoked the cheesiest of clichés, little green men from Mars, and he's done so very deliberately.
You know, Rennie, when I was a boy, it was the great burning topic, were there really canals there and who made them? I remember my disappointment when somebody proved that Martians couldn't exist.
It's a funny word. Worn out before anything turned up to claim it. Martian.
André Marel and Cees Linder in Quatermass and the Pit. The series is one of the greatest TV dramas ever made, irrespective of genre. This wasn't cult for huddled anoraks. This was mainstream drama that beguiled the nation and emptied pubs. Neil's relationship with the BBC never properly recovered after the selling of the film rights to the Quatermass experiment. He was a BBC staff writer at the time, so didn't really have a say. And Quatermass's final TV appearance was therefore on ITV, on gritty Euston film with a big budget, in 1979. John Mills plays an older professor looking for his lost granddaughter in a dystopian future in which young cults gather at ancient stone circles and are digested by some inconceivable alien intelligence light years away. Neil was fated by science fiction aficionados, but a bad experience at an early convention was enough to put him off for life, and indeed spoof them in his sitcom Kinvig. It's fair to say he never quite reconciled the fact that he was considered to be a giant of a genre he didn't really consider that he wrote, and by a huge fan base he didn't really care for. And fair enough, really. His work was of a much broader appeal, and if he hadn't been an exemplar of a genre too often patronised, disdained, or misunderstood by the supposedly highbrow, maybe he would have got that OBE. He also, for example, adapted Wuthering Heights for TV and Look Back in Anger and The Entertainer for film. He was courted by American cinema makers and continued having scripts produced well into the 1990s, including episodes of Sharp and Kavanagh QC. But if you're even vaguely interested in TV drama or horror or science fiction, then Neil's texts are seminal. And the legacy continues. His daughter Tacey is an admired artist, and son Matthew is a multi-award-winning author. creative family indeed. Like the ancient horrors unleashed in his finest works, Neil's influence is felt in much of the genre output that continues to make a mark on our cultural landscape. That's the Quatermass inheritance bequeathed to us by Thomas Nigel Neil, who would have turned 100 on April the 28th, 2022, and who still haunts our imaginations.
Every war crisis, witch hunt, race riot, purge is a reminder and a warning. We are the Martians. If we cannot control the inheritance within us, this will be their second dead planet.
André Morel in Quatermass and the Pit, ending Remembering Nigel Neil, which was written and presented by me, Toby Haydoke, with thanks to Paul Venezes, Andy Murray, and John Deere.